Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We pause on Communion Sunday. And we turn to think about communion and why we do communion. And in chapter 3, Paul talks about the greatness beyond comparison of knowing Jesus Christ. And we want to look at Philippians chapter 3. Through 9. The greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate in communion. This is a proclamation of what Jesus did, and Paul's view of Jesus Christ is what every believer must have. Paul says in 3:1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard to you." Now, let me remind you, Pastor Dave does a lot of repeating, doesn't he? There is why I do it. Jesus repeated, Paul repeated, because it's a safeguard. You will never get something if you only hear it once. The reason why the church is in trouble is that preachers either aren't preaching the word or you only hear it once and it goes in one ear and out the other. Paul said, in order for the church to prosper and know the privilege of Jesus Christ, he says it has to be repeated. To write the same things must be repeated. Now notice what he says in verse 2, which is not seeker sensitive. Many people want churches to be sensitive to the seeker. Well, Paul was never seeker sensitive. He told it the way it was. And if you pervert the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ that we proclaim, here is what he says in verse 2. Beware the dogs. Now, Paul wasn't talking about literal dogs. He's not talking about you going jogging and four Rottweilers start chasing you. I've heard about those stories. Who are the dogs? Wanda, you are listening. It was the nation of Israel and Jews throughout that were calling Christians dogs because they believed in Jesus. And they were calling them dogs because they weren't related physically to Abraham. But what Paul does here is turn it right back and say, if you don't know Jesus Christ and you're hostile to him, Paul is calling those people who don't know Jesus Christ and who work so virulently against him, he's calling them dogs. How do you like that? The dogs here are the Judaizers who rejected Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, Paul is saying if you work against him, they were the real dogs. That's a Jewish man calling the Judaizers dogs. To work against Jesus, to work against the new covenant, is to earn that name. Next he says, beware of the evil workers, those who work against the gospel, the proclamation of Jesus, were the evil workers. Then he says this, beware the false circumcision. That tells us immediately that Paul is saying, if you're under the old covenant, you are false circumcision. For in the new covenant, circumcision was never outwardly physical. The new covenant inaugurated spiritual circumcision that even Moses hinted was coming. He told the old covenant people, circumcise your what? Your heart. See, physical circumcision under the old covenant was merely a picture. of the heart change that God would do under the new covenant. So, wow, does Paul use some strong terms for those who would seek to go back to the old covenant? He calls them false circumcision. He calls them evil workers. He calls them dogs. These were all names that the Judaizers reserved for Christians. Then look what he says in verse 3. For we are the true circumcision. Who's the we here? Use your... Those who follow what? Under the new covenant. We are the true circumcision. How do you like that? So much bad theology today does not teach this. The followers of Jesus under the new covenant are the true circumcision. That means if you don't follow Jesus Christ and you're not under the new covenant, you are the false circumcision. Who worship in spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. For what did those in Judaism do? Put confidence in their physical relationship to Abraham. Listen to me. The true confidence you have is in Jesus Christ and the new covenant. And that Jesus said, it is not my physical mothers and brothers who are my family. It is those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Those are the real people of God. And then he goes on and starts to magnify Jesus Christ. Although I might myself have confidence in the flesh, if anyone has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Look at him under the old covenant in verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day. By the way, Moses said a male child must be circumcised on the eighth day. Jesus got the Jews on this. For Jesus healed on the eighth day. But guess what Jews would do on the eighth day? Circumcised. So they were working. Jesus said, if you circumcise on the eighth day, what are you getting about me if I heal somebody? He was of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He could trace his physical lineage. Under the new covenant, none of that matters whatsoever. It is spiritual birth of the new covenant. You must be born again. Those are all gone. The old covenant and these distinctions are passed. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. Now the law is Moses. What's a Pharisee? A pious, separated one that zealously kept the Old Testament law. And Paul is saying that doesn't count. Watch this here. As to the zeal, a persecutor of the church. He thought he was doing God a service by persecuting the true people of God. As to the righteousness which is in the law of the old covenant, blameless. But listen to me now, watch verse 7. That's the pivot. But whatever things were gained to me, so what was gained for him? His physical lineage, his circumcision, his keeping the law, his being a religious zealot. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing knowledge or knowing of Jesus Christ my Lord. There is what really counts in life. Knowing Jesus Christ in the new covenant, Paul said. Everything I did under the old covenant. Now watch how much he considers this old covenant, how much he rejects it. And count them but rubbish. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Paul uses a very strong term for his position under the old covenant. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, followed the Mosaic law, righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Here is what he considers all of that of the old covenant. He considers it, are you ready? Rubbish. Do you know what that word rubbish means? Huh? Close, Linda. It means dung. I heard an old Scottish preacher. You ought to hear him with that Scottish accent. Roll that off. That's exactly, Paul used a very strong term for excrement. Now listen to me. What he's saying is this. So wondrous is knowing Jesus of the new covenant that all things about the old covenant and all of his zeal for the old covenant and his physical lineage, he counts as, are you ready? Dung. What do we proclaim this morning? That the greatest thing in life for you is knowing Jesus Christ of the new covenant, and anything else but him is dung. Wow. If I would have said that without Paul, you would hang me. But Paul said it.